This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Life gets pretty boring when every day is the same. Take me on a rocket ship to see the Earth from space.
Welcome to the podcast. This is Exploration Live. Mm-hmm. I'm Charlie Bardet.
And I'm Natalie Rotter-Lateman.
Yeah, we don't always do that, but every once in a while. And we have guests with us today.
Yeah.
And what we decided about our guest policy is we're not going to do the thing of having them sit silently. So we're actually going to bring them in right now. I forgot to ask how they wanted to be introduced, so yeah. I'm just going to make it up.
Let's try something, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm going to go pretty actually down the middle with it,
sure.
By the way.
Yeah.
Today we have Sam Taggart and George Tsiveris,
yeah.
Who host the fabulous podcast Stradiolab,
mm-hmm.
which we were recently on and we love and we listen to. And so we thought, well, why not return the favor by having them guest on our podcast?
Well, it kind of, honestly, both of them were a favor to us.
Right.
Wait,
that's
what?
True.
Like, you guys did us a favor by having us on,
right.
And then you're doing us a favor by being on ours.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true.
But it's we got you guys massages.
Yes!
It's so weird that you would frame it that way.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I think it's true as fuck in a nice way.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
Well, everybody's really helping each other.
Let me just say.
Would be if you're like, well, we know they're not going to be good, but
yeah,
and let me just say something. We have done that for friends of ours who knew would not be good on the podcast.
Stop.
But
really?
You two are
sub-tweet?
Not
subtweet.
Yeah.
Names.
I'm not even thinking about anyone in particular, but like, sure, we definitely
name names
have.
Or
like,
we pull the
there
massage.
There are people where Sam and I will be like, you know what, like,
yeah.
This person.
It's more like people we think, we always believe that they can be good,
mm-hmm.
But then sometimes, you know, their inner saboteur wins.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Totally.
They don't bring the heat. In
yeah.
And also
so
being
hard.
Friends with someone doesn't mean they're a great podcast guest.
Totally.
No.
And being a great podcast guest doesn't really mean one single thing.
Mm-hmm. No.
About who you are.
Right. No, sometimes it actually can mean you're like not a great person in many other ways.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's like, okay, so you are really good at speaking into a microphone
mm-hmm.
about your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like try writing something down.
Yeah.
Try like editing.
Yeah,
try perfecting.
Try listening, actually.
Right.
Try listening to your mother.
Right. Try doing a recipe.
Call your mom back. Right.
Yeah, call your mom back. Read a book. Read right. one article.
Right.
Read one. Buy
what about
a
an Earl Grey tea cake?
Right.
That sounds really hard. That sounds much harder than being a podcast guest.
Yum.
And by the way, it goes the other way around. You can be really good at making an Earl Grey tea cake, and you might not be a good podcast guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
So
really
I do want to like respect, you know, kind of what you guys are doing too.
Totally.
You know
thank
what?
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to say, you know, there was an element of, I felt a bit of shame.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, Charlie said, we're not going to do that whole thing where we make the guests sit silently.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
And that was
where
actually, like, I was subtweeting.
That's
bit.
What
we
you
do.
Do.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was subtweeting you guys.
Yeah.
And I actually was going to bring that up, and then I didn't. And I kind of left you guys
well,
in the lurch.
It's okay, because Sam did.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So
right.
That's
we
something
can trust
about
each other.
This foursome is, yeah, like, someone's got your back to bring up the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, honestly, we're new,
mm-hmm.
and... to have a guest and something that
guests.
The intro alone and then bringing the guest does is like you have to kind of like do your podcast in front of other people
totally.
For a little bit
yeah. mm-hmm.
and I don't know if we're there yet you know what I mean like
well also it's like I think we're both a little bit easily distractible
yeah
so it's kind of like it's like we're like la 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 how was your day and it's like who are
they're
these
right
guys
there,
like,
yeah. right
you know, literally right here
it never gets I mean it never gets it's never easy to make
never
that transition
easy.
Between intro and guest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or rather, it's not that it's hard, but it's like, it is inherently awkward. Odd. So you just have to like power right. through it
right.
or lean into it.
Right.
Right.
Well, somebody once called us out for being like nervous in that section because we were like being weird in front of the guest. Mm-hmm. And it was, they were like, why don't you stop doing it? And it was like, no, that would mean we're doing some, we're stopping doing something because we're afraid of it. We actually need right. to run towards yeah. it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I do think, I do see a value in like warming up. Like it's also exactly nice it for is. The guests yeah. to be like, we got this ball rolling and we're right. kind of like, get in here.
Yeah, it's true.
Roll the ball with us.
We're like, you know what I mean? So we need to do a yeah. podcast literally right now and we need your guys' help. Like literally
immediately. Can you start talking? Start yeah. talking.
Yeah. Bring up a topic. Bring up a topic.
So start talking right now, George and Sam.
Wait, that would be a really funny way to start if it was like, if it was like, we're like, hi and welcome to Exploration Live. And we just kind of look at you. And we're like,
say yeah. something.
Well, that's also for us, like, we're like, okay, we're going to be as stupid as possible in the intro mm-hmm. so that then, like, the other person can feel loose and mm-hmm. free right. to be their dumbest self.
Totally. Right. Totally. Right. Like, look at what passes here.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why I was on the floor.
Say, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The worst thing you can do in an intro is sort of like, do all bookkeep like housekeeping and then bring the guest in.
Oh, like we have like, a yeah. show
welcome
on.
To Slash, blah, yeah. blah, blah, blah. Brought to you by blah, blah, blah. We're mm-hmm. here at South by Southwest, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And today, you know, blah, blah, blah. So how are you?
Yeah.
It's like,
cool. Oh my God.
Is this
yeah.
still an ad?
Yeah. That is visceral. Like the
I guess
way
I'm in a
like,
Super Bowl ad for Newcastle Beer.
Yeah. Right? How are you is hard because it's like, it's private. Usually.
Yeah, literally,
you
know literally. What I mean? How am I? It's like, I'm sorry, like, I don't want to say that on the air.
Yeah. Right. There's so many yeah. different ways to approach it. It's right. like, are you asking what I did today? Like, yeah. are you asking, like, my deep emotions, like, right. for the last right. hour? Totally. For
how
the last
have I
week?
Been? Right. Yeah. Yeah,
they should
totally.
Start with a prompt where it's like, they do all the housekeeping and then yeah. it's like, and
what I'm are you here working on with, lately?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So, what are your favorite brands?
Okay. What are you working on lately?
What are you proud of that you've made?
Sometimes I will just, like, out of grasping for anything, will ask that question and then of course immediately regret it and then yeah. you're just stuck in that conversation. Someone totally. Is clearly uncomfortable and they're like, oh, well, know. You know, I'm like shopping something around. It's
totally. Literally, and people literally will ask that. Like yeah. you really do get asked that. Like, what are you working on? And then you have to be yeah. like,
it's well, like, well, a lot.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, why don't you trust me? And I'm sure I'll figure that out.
Yeah. More than I could say. Yeah.
There's a nice pause in a group setting where people don't know each other. I like to throw a little like, so what's everybody's favorite color? Because one, it gets a big laugh. Cute. People love it.
You're honestly, that's like cute privilege.
And then people like, also get to like actually say what their favorite color is. Right. And it usually sparks a little conversation.
All right, let's go around the horn.
Yeah.
Sam does also does it in like a funny voice. I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's like there'll be an awkward silence and then Sam will be like, so what's every woman up to?
That sounds like him.
Wow.
That's you do too that. Crazy to,
no, it's true. Yeah. I
all
do
right,
a funny
let's
voice.
Do favorite colors. Just quick. Okay. Lightning round.
Blue.
Honestly, mine is blue.
I think in my clothes I'm a blue, but I actually think orange.
Yeah.
Someone was, actually I read this in the New York Times.
Oh?
That orange is the most underrepresented color on red carpet dresses.
Underrepresented. And it was like,
thank you, New York Times. Thank
like,
you.
Janelle Monáe wore it this year to the Oscars red carpet, right. and the caption was like, she was in best dress, and it was like, it was a daring choice because orange is infamously underrepresented on the red carpet.
Wow. And it's like, yeah, there was one person in orange this year, but it's not enough.
Right.
No, we got to
that's
do better.
A start.
And it's not moving fast enough. Yeah. Right.
I would say, I'm going to choose to accentuate your question with a qualifier, which is I'm going to say, what's your favorite color on the red carpet?
Yeah,
and
sure,
my answer
please.
Is purple.
Oh,
like a royal purple.
Yeah, like gorgeous. Angela Bassett this year. Look it up if you're at home.
Uh-huh.
She wore purple.
Love.
And I'm going to choose to accentuate the question with an anecdote about
everyone
my past.
Needs to be asking my consent before they accentuate my all over there my questions. Well,
a
just.
Lot of accentuating going on.
What I'm interpreting Natalie to have asked is like think about the idea of having a favorite color and like go from there.
That is so you to interpret it that
don't
way.
Don't be shitting on that. It's like it's Sam's question and he's a guest.
Yeah,
it's true.
That was crazy.
Well, what I was gonna say is that I remember as a kid, like
I feel crazy
subverting it as well, being like clear.
Stop.
Oh, totally. God.
You know what I mean? Or being like rainbow.
That is so gay.
No, right.
Also rainbow. So when people say rainbow, it's like you can't say that.
Don't say rainbow.
Well, rainbow, I don't think counts. Clear, I think kind of counts because it's like that is a color that like when you're a kid, mm-hmm. that is one of the ways that things can look.
But yeah. I didn't. Like, it's I like mean, it literally doesn't color. Count.
You can
right?
buy a shoe that is clear.
Right.
It's literally not a color.
Right.
Clear.
But it's not literally no. And if I had to give a real answer, it's like a blue green. whatever.
Like an turquoise? Aqua?
Turquoise, or like an aqua.
Oh.
Okay, it's hard to describe you. We actually have to have a conversation about the different words for blue-green.
It's too many.
And teal, see, I told aqua, you a conversation aqua. Would get started.
You know what I mean?
Right,
you know
right.
I mean?
And they're all like very, very like heady and like up here. Yes. And there aren't really like a kind of like, you know, casual, everyday blue-green word.
Yeah, it's hard to say without just
hard
being
hard to
like,
say just like turquoise. It's hard to just say that.
And well, people I feel also like, will have... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I feel like aqua is like the working man's way to say blue-green.
Right.
Wait, that's so funny.
Even aqua.
I think aqua is too like blue. Sophisticated pinky up. Like
That's what teal is to me.
Teal is ridiculous. I mean, they I all think are. Turquoise, they're all I like a little tea party together.
I think
together.
Turquoise is working.
To be honest, I think I did it by saying blue-green.
That's right.
That's working man's.
Oh, wow.
You know what working man's is actually? It's just saying either blue or green.
Right.
Just being like, I don't even say, like, I don't, totally. What you're doing right now no. is like, oh, right. you went to art school? This right. is blue.
It's yeah. frilly to even decide.
There just exactly. needs to be another name because blue, red, you say purple.
What are the walls of this room, would you say?
Whoa!
Oh! Take it there.
Green.
Green? Forest, I would like, say, oh, I guess they
no, but there's green. A blue in it.
There's a blue. There's a turquoise.
But you know that
quality.
Thing that like pink is light red and we only see pink because we called it pink?
Right.
Do you guys not know this?
No, totally.
I don't know.
The Sapir Whorf hypothesis.
I'll never
wait, what?
Get
the Sapir Whorf hypothesis.
Charlie, Sapir Whorf. I had something.
The Sapir Whorf.
The Sapir Whorf.
It's called the Sapir Whorf.
I'm listening.
What is that?
That's basically it's like the idea that like the language we use like impacts like the concepts we're able to see, and there's like 100%. Research that says like different languages that have like that distinguish colors differently. Are able see. To like better see the gradations within those colors.
Whoa.
So like it all looks the same. Like same with like I feel like sounds in languages.
Yes.
Like you can't hear
yes.
the difference between certain sounds if you don't have them.
Yeah. But with like the color stuff it's more like you literally it's like in languages that only have one word for like a blue green, they're not so good at distinguishing like stuff within that category, whereas like English does have the like a difference between blue and green and therefore we're better at it. But there's like that culture might have like two or three different kinds of red, and they're much better at distinguishing reds than we are.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that we have the language. It's actually kind of, the hypothesis is in disrepute. People don't really like it.
Oh,
it's
outrageous
right now.
Oh.
Why?
I don't know.
Because it was rude?
Yeah, that's as far as I got with
would
it.
Would that be in...
I was a linguistics major for a year.
Oh, you were?
Oh.
Yeah.
Part of my major was linguistics.
Really?
Oh.
And I've always been like, it took me a while to understand that like Noam Chomsky's linguistics career is completely separate from his career as an activist. And for a while I was like, linguistics is activist.
Right, literally.
Yeah.
Which is so stupid like, to think about.
Yeah. Wait, I buy it.
Yeah, actually like, in today's capitalist society, linguistics is activism.
It's truly like, that was separate for him.
It is like real, like I was like, I love linguistics because I love like words and their different meanings. And then I had to take a class that was like, versus and I was like, I'm not.
I'm
I can't.
Out.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't be doing this.
Not like that.
No. They're like, and what shape does your tongue make when you make a T sound? I was like, I can't see. And I can't. No way.
That stuff is cool. Like speech therapists.
Yeah.
I see. I watch them on TikTok. I'm on speech therapy TikTok.
Sure.
Oh.
And those girls, let's be honest, are rocking the house down.
Yeah, that's
And by
true.
The way, it's the hottest girl you've ever seen in your life.
Totally.
She's a speech therapist.
Oh, 100%.
Right. And she's like, duh.
Yeah.
Duh.
Uh-huh. They also have like tricks.
No, exactly.
And that's what's cool is that they're like, say the word like say train, and now we're gonna say but take off the T, rain, and that's how you say
you
rain.
You know what I have with that? My sister's name is Clara, and we're from Westchester, and we say Clara like with that kind of A.
Yeah.
And sometimes people say Clara.
Clara, that's what I would say.
Clara, like a lot of people say Clara, and then sometimes when they get confused, they say Clara.
Right.
Like to kind like of sound
British.
Like us.
That's
yeah.
Wrong. Santa
Clara is like nothing.
Right.
And so then to help people get it, sometimes I'll say apple, say clapple, say Clara.
Wow.
Would you correct me if I said Clara?
No.
Okay.
But if you said Clara.
Right, that's wrong.
I wouldn't correct you, but I'd be like,
people
I make fun
are
of
really
you.
Loosey-goosey with doing an aw sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even just when someone's name is Anna, it's like, the default is Anna. She'll tell you if it's Anna.
Anna. Yeah. You can't assume Anna.
Don't assume Anna.
I mean, the hardest is, of course, Kirsten, Kristen, and...
Oh, my God.
Kirsten. Kirsten.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So cute. Kirsten? I love Kirsten.
Yeah. I'm like, it's Kirsten. I don't like Kirsten. That really trips me out.
I don't know. Just think about Kirsten. Like, she's cute as fuck, and she's fun.
She's sporty.
Yeah, and she's got pigtails. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do our...
Okay.
So, we each... I mean, George and Sam are obviously, like, geniuses, so they brought in ideas. And by the way, on this podcast, we like talk about our ideas. Yeah. And so everyone wrote their ideas down on separate pieces of paper. And so we're all going to just hand them around basically to other random
Natalie's
people.
Natalie's distributing in a way that's like making me feel like I'm getting my test back.
These are Sam's.
Oh my God. Perfect. Oh.
Wait, don't do. I feel like you guys should be like not with each other.
Okay, here. Okay. Charlie gets Sam's and I'll get
Charlie,
okay.
Sorry about my handwriting. I thought it was just for me to read.
But no, I think I'm going to.
So?
I'll take yours.
Wait,
got
but
it.
No, no, you have mine. You have mine.
Oh, there you go.
No, because Charlie has Sam's.
It's fine. I have George's. It's fine. It's
good. What do you have?
Charlie Bourdais.
It's fine. This is fine.
But you guys could switch if you wanted. No, because that's not
mine. And then I should.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you're left brain, George.
Yeah.
Sounds like. All right. So
sorry.
I'll read, and this is fun because it's like we don't know whose it's going to be.
Right.
Optimism is pessimism and vice versa.
That's mine.
George!
Mm-hmm. Actually, Sam has heard this one before, but literally 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. Explain.
I bet he
forgot
it.
He forgot. Okay. So basically, this is the idea that. Colloquially, what like an average basic person would call optimist actually is rooted in pessimism and vice versa. So basically, if I'm like, that company has such a great office culture, then that is the average person would be like, oh, wow, you're such an optimist. But no, I am a pessimist because I can't imagine a better world. So I'm happy with what exists.
Whoa.
And then the reverse of that is if I'm like, this place sucks, I'm quitting.
Right.
Someone will be like, that is so cynical, pessimist, because you hate the world around you. And in fact, no, it's rooted in optimism because I can imagine a better world.
Wow.
Well, and this is genius.
That's really smart.
Thank you.
Like, that's good. I've been thinking about this a lot with like contentedness and like how content are you supposed to be?
Right. Satisfaction. Right.
Because I will truly just be like, well, that's just how the world is, and like let water off a duck's back, and it's like, how healthy of me.
Right.
It's like, no, it's actually healthy to get upset and like send a crazy email and like make some changes.
Right. There's like a complacency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And of course you can't take it too far because then you'll just be like dissatisfied with every, like but it's a fascinating, I just think it's one of the, I can't remember where I don't know where I first first heard about it, but it really like restructured how I think about a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Is a pessimistic person like taking those ideas and then laying them on top of someone who's like, overall like feeling more hopeful or something.
Totally.
Like maybe a pessimistic person is someone who's like trying to change stuff and like in there, you know what I mean? Like feels like they're moving and shaking or whatever. And like big picture is an optimistic person kind of just like
It also ties to I think the concept of cynicism is incredibly loaded and people like weaponize the word cynicism to mean whatever they want to mean. So like for instance, I mean, not to be so sort of obvious, but let's say like a Bernie Sanders. It's like someone would be like, he's so cynical. He thinks the world sucks or whatever. It's like, no, he is like, he wants the world to be better.
Right.
And then in fact, the cynic is the person who is like essentially like being misleading by offering hopeful rhetoric. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This also is like even like being an activist, it's like kind of annoying to be around because you're like, well, I just want to like chill out and have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, but they're like, well, wait, I'm begging for the world to be better. And it's like, right.
Yeah.
And that means talking about the ways the world is bad right now.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, there is like two kinds, I guess, of like optimism and pessimism where it's like there's like present oriented and like future oriented. And this applies more, I think, to future orientation. Because if you're someone who's like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like if you're someone who's like, oh, I. Because
the bar is too crowded.
Right.
That sucks. This is horrible.
Right.
Versus like, oh, everyone's out tonight. Maybe we'll see more people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the just making do with what you have.
Right. Exactly.
But maybe the person who's like, it's too crowded is like, let's go somewhere else.
Right.
And then they end up going to an amazing bar.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And there's also a form of pessimism where people are like, the bar is too crowded. This night's going to suck. And like being pessimistic about like your future outcome versus there's a pessimism of being like, no, you know what? This does suck right now. I don't want to be like, it's fine, because actually we could find a better one.
Yeah.
And that's like a constructive pessimism.
Totally.
I feel like we've talked about that a lot, of like the thing of being like, name when something is bad. And there's such a like delusional optimism of like, it's fine that we can't hear each other. That's actually okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not. And actually, because you're saying that, it's making it impossible for us to get something better.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
I love that.
That's amazing, George.
Thank you.
Should we?
That's good shit. Okay. Yeah, let's keep it moving.
Do I go now?
Yeah.
This is Sauna Wana.
Okay, that's mine. And I did it rhyming because I know that on Stradio Lab, they do rhyming, so I wanted you guys to feel at home.
Thank you for that.
I feel really comfortable.
Your shoulders just went down.
Yeah. I knew. Because I was like, they're going to feel so confused. Like, where is the other
I'm literally like, what is going on? Right, why does nothing rhyme?
Right.
Sauna Wana is this the end of it?
Or am I waiting for line two?
Yeah.
You're welcome. Sauna Wana is the thing of... when you're in like a quiet place with like often a lot of tension, like for example a sauna,
a lot of tension
in
sexual?
What way?
Sexual.
Oh, okay.
in my recent experience,
business, yeah. Financial.
Where have you recently been experiencing this? Sorry.
Well, I went to Spa Castle. Oh, a few weeks ago. You're
gonna
recently
experience
that.
By the way, say it.
Yeah. What?
With me.
Yes, with Natalie. But we were not in the sauna together because of gender.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. Because of how you guys think about gender.
Right. Exactly.
We don't.
For us, we would have been.
Whatever.
So fine with that. Yeah. But I was there and it was like, this is crazy because it's like a bunch of men, or whatever, asterisk, in this room. And it's like there is sexual tension and people are kind of like reaching for each other and doing various. But there is this crazy, like, it's like silent. Like, it's completely silent.
Right.
And I'm in there and I'm like, what's up, you guys? Like, I really want to talk. I really, really, really want to talk.
You
want
to be chit-chatting?
I want to be... I'm not chit-chatting, but when there's this crazy, like...
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, literally 20 people in a crowded room being completely silent and being aware of everybody
else
and evaluating everyone else. And what this also happens is, like, the subway.
I was going to say that!
Yeah, exactly.
I
but
this is
crazy where you're, like... It's, like... And then when you hear someone talking on the subway, it's, like...
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe it's like everybody can hear that.
Yeah.
Or someone, I feel like someone once asked me on the subway, like on a crowded, like, okay, this used to happen where I would like be commuting to school, like to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And like you'd run into a friend and you'd be like, or someone you kind of knew and you'd be like, no, I don't want this. And then they'd be like, what's going on? And you'd have to be like talking about your life. And like, you're like, well, I'm worried
and
about my chemistry
listening.
Test second period. And everybody on the train is like listening to you because they're commuting.
Right.
And you're like, I don't want to.
Sometimes the train is silent.
It's silent and like scary.
Happens. Yeah.
Wait, but the sexual side specifically is difficult because it's like having a sexy voice and being good at sexy voice is actually the hardest thing you could, like, it's the hardest thing to achieve.
Yeah.
And it's something in my own life where I've been like, wait, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's as soon as I say something, like, if we're like doing something and I say something, it's like everyone's taken out of it.
No.
I have comedy voice and I can't turn it off.
Are you serious?
And you don't think, like, in a normal conversation, it's like, I can have normal conversation voice, but in contrast to sex and sexiness, my voice sounds so comedic and so, like, as if I'm, like, Jerry Seinfeld. It, like, sounds so
insane. Oh, boy!
By the way, we don't know. He might have an amazing sexy voice.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
I do think it's, like, it's the hardest transition to hit. Like,
this, like, is my impression of Sam having sex. Sheesh.
Oh my goodness.
That's funny.
It is like if you hook up with someone who you like have known how they talk and then they're gonna talk while you're hooking up, that is a bit like that's very vulnerable. More than probably any of the other stuff that goes down.
So true.
No, it's very true.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Sex voice.
But then again, don't want them to be silent.
No, say something.
Maybe some grunts here and there.
It's funny to imagine ways to do it wrong. I mean, ways to be funny during sex. But that's the thing of it where it's like, it's so, there is this tension that it's like, there's actually so many ways of like saying something that would be insane and would really, like, it's actually like a fragile kind of ecosystem.
I think it's like, if something funny goes down like that, you talk about it after. Like, I feel like if someone says something or whatever, like, I don't think, or I just don't, I've never had the experience in the moment of feeling like it would be okay psychologically to be like, that was weird. Like that, but then afterwards I think you can, but like, it's just too raw in the moment.
Don't
you think?
With like the sauna thing, like it's so crazy that like you can kind of completely puncture that ecosystem by just like walking in and being like, hey.
Yeah.
Like, and that would be like done. Like everybody would be like, okay, we're going to go back to the pool right now. Like with sex too, it's like, you really could be like, oopsie. Like you do it, like you're trying for something, but you kind of miss. And then it's like, all right, let's take a five. Maybe we'll try to get back into this.
Maybe the tension arises from knowing with just a tiny little action, you could derail.
It could all crumble.
It
could crumble. It's fragile.
Like, and you're all pretending is the other thing.
You're
like,
all pretending.
You're pretending
especially
that you're
in the
not.
Sauna space.
Yeah, like you're pretending that you're not like taking in the people around you, basically.
You're pretending it's secret. You're pretending you don't know what's happening. Right. You're pretending it's a mistake.
Right.
So it's like anything that makes you aware of the fact that
And
you're like faking something is like embarrassing.
It like the whole thing crumbles.
Yeah. Also, okay, sex voice is also, it reminds me of like singing voice where like takes you a second to find the tone, like unless you're like trained.
Right.
And it's like, but that mess up, there's no forgiveness.
No, there's not.
It's true.
There's, like, it's, no, it's a cruel world. Like, there's also a thing during sex of like, you guys ever had the thing where like someone says something in bed and you like just literally didn't hear them?
And you're totally. Like, and you're like, you can't say what.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. Like,
I mean, talk about Seinfeldian.
What did you say?
That is a Seinfeldian.
And inevitably, what the person said was literally like, that feels good.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, totally.
Oh, but then you say what? Ugh. If you say what, it's
what?
Over.
What? And then they're like, what? And you're like, what did you say?
Yeah.
It's like, I said, that feels good.
Yeah.
Oh,
trying
good.
To say what in a sexy voice. It's like,
yeah.
What?
And then you repeat that.
Excuse me, baby.
I didn't hear you because there's stuff in my ear. To get it. Cleaned out.
Or something.
John really used to have a bit about like, what if instead of saying "oh yeah" during sex, you said "for sure"?
Oh, I like that. Classic.
For sure. Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure,
for sure, for sure. For sure. That's awesome. Right. Okay, let's go next.
Okay.
Wait, you guys don't go?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that was just mine, but we're going around. Didn't Natalie read the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I did that one. You did one in the.
Natalie did mine. Then you did Charlie.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Zam. But by the way, it's like this is. It's approaching like it's a circular new. Action that's yeah. new to us.
Yeah, okay.
All right, I want to say something. And this is honestly genuine and true, but something changed in my life where I, and Natalie, can I speak for you as well here?
Right.
That I've been going to see a lot more theater. And it's I'm having an amazing time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of off my radar for a while, and I've been having so much fun. And so what a treat that we are being basically sponsored by TodayTix, which is a fabulous way to get tickets to shows, just kind of classic style, but also you can get rush tickets on TodayTix, cheaper tickets. It's just a really fun night out with your friends. Kind of you can do like high-end expensive, like we're going to go see a big, brilliant Broadway show, whatever. Or you can do like kind of a little weird experimental off Broadway. Like they kind of have it all. It's fabulous. It's fun. There's nothing better. Something about theater. It's so fun to like see a show. And then later you walk out and you get to be like, so. Like whether it's good or bad or a mix, whatever. Like who's like it's just a rich, fun thing to talk about.
And it's a great present.
It's a great
then
present.
Then you get to experience something with the other person and make a memory. And it's not just like, you know, a hat or whatever.
That's right.
They've got tickets to shows on Broadway and the West End and in other cities across the country and around the world. And you can book a show in advance or, this is key, be spontaneous and check out what's on for tonight.
Hey, what did we see recently? You saw Wicked.
I saw Wicked.
I'm about
that
to see
was
Wicked.
Amazing. Yeah. And...
Oh my God, I've actually seen so much. I've seen a lot of Sondheim, famously.
Great.
Recently.
List them.
I saw, well, Last Year Saw Into the Woods. More recently, I saw Sweeney Todd, which I loved.
TodayTix gives you access to exclusive pre-sales, lotteries, and specially priced rush tickets.
So go to todaytix.com/exploration and use promo code exploration to get $20 off your first TodayTix purchase. That's promo code exploration at todaytix.com/exploration. todaytix.com/exploration. You know what? I think you guys are going to really use this one. $20 off a ticket is kind of awesome. And that's the price basically of like you get a drink or two before the show. How fabulous is that? So check it out. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic, legal, and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and the counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at elotrolato.org/volunteer.
Massage where?
Oh, well, this is also sexual. And it's mine. I was going to say, and it's George's. But I backed off. okay, well, this is the thing of, I got a massage recently. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, for me, a massage, if there's the vibe of, like, you're an athlete mm-hmm. and you're being, like, worked on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, my muscles are sore and I need to, like, get them in the right shape, which I, like, never have because, as we've recently discussed, I don't work out and sure. I don't believe in it. And one of the reasons I don't believe in it is because it leaves your body feeling like shit a lot of the time. Even totally. Though allegedly it's supposed to make your body feel so good, a lot of the time you're working out, you can't walk the next day. Right. What's that for?
Right.
But it's good for mental health, so whatever. But honestly, it's like I would be jogging if it didn't leave me so sore, whatever. And I know I could push past it, but shin splints, like I don't need the whole mess.
Well, also, yeah. By the way, people work out all the time and it's like, or like the people I know who did sports in high school were like, constantly getting like concussions. Right. They're like, I tore my ACL.
Right.
I was like, you know where I didn't do that? Theater. Right. I actually was totally. Safe and sound doing theater.
I need a twisted ankle. Not right now.
Yeah, I got mad.
Anyways.
Now, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You have now like 3 times started talking about this and yeah. then been like, anyway, whatever. And I can so tell that's what you actually want to talk about.
The working out thing.
Yeah. But I know you've already talked about it. But
I know.
It's very funny
I'm reaching
to,
my limit.
You're like, I have all the talking points. If I wanted to, I could do a tight 15 on this. But that's not what this is about.
That's true. I should do my workout hour.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
Or I just go back and forth.
I love workout hour. Also, it can be filmed like in an aerobic studio.
Oh, right.
Beautiful.
And then, you could be like in a sort of Jane Fonda right. Luke.
Little something.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
And I can show everyone my muscles and I can do a belly roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, when I show people my belly roll, they don't react right.
Yeah.
Well, it's because
shouldn't blame the audience.
There's like
but...
no
there's no okay, right I guess way people to react. Don't like belly rolls.
People are so no one knows where they stand in terms of bodies.
Right.
So there's just no anything you say about your or someone else's body, people freeze and they're like,
right.
What lever do I push to be like launched into space?
Right,
specifically
right, right.
The belly
out.
Too.
Yeah.
It's
no,
like,
that's right. That's
it's
right.
Like, is this sexual? Is this not? Like, yeah. Am I being body positive?
And I'll tell
am I
you,
not?
It's not sexual. Mm-hmm. Right, Charlie, you've seen it.
Yeah, but it's yeah, close.
Yeah. It's,
but
it's to some it's sexual close, stuff. And it's a part of me that most people don't get to see the belly.
Yeah.
So but I also, think there's some shock of like, whoa, we're looking at the belly, and yeah. then all of a sudden it's doing this undulation. That's mm-hmm. not in a sexual category. It's actually scary. It's like a worm.
But it's also like, it is humorous.
Yeah.
And it's humorous. What people are afraid of is any time a body is used as
it's
a punchline.
It's funny. Right. Especially a woman, I'll say it.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. Mm-hmm.
And I'll put something else on it. I'm not trying to get a laugh. I think it's amazing what
right.
I can do.
Right.
And yeah. I do think it's funny that it's me that can do it, yeah, but the funny yeah. part is that it's me, not that the action itself is funny.
Right.
Right.
Totally.
I'll do it for you when the cameras are off.
Oh.
Yay, I can't wait. Anyways, so the thing with massage is that, okay, so there's that thing of like your sports person being like worked, like it's for like body working perfectly. And then the other thing, which is just like good sensation right. or something,
right.
to me, I'm like, where is this going? Like, if that's not leading to sex, I don't get it. You know
well,
what I mean?
You can have it lead to sex.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the only
right,
way
topic.
It really makes sense. No, totally. But I think like this massage I just got
yeah.
was not a sexual one.
Sure.
Which is my bad, obviously, but whatever, just went like that.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, you know, I don't need to be like worked on.
Wait, so that, to me it's like, the reason to get a massage, I just got my first ever massage mm-hmm. last month, so it's oh. very freshly in my mind.
Okay, good.
I just did not grow up with massage culture.
Sure.
Like, it always mm-hmm. seemed like such a
luxury.
Mm-hmm. But to me, it's very sort of obvious. It's like you get a massage because we live such sedentary lifestyles that, like, you literally need that to, like, keep your body in check because you are basically like ruining it day to day by
for like achieving like relaxation or something,
and also just for to avoid injuries, to avoid like your back going out.
Right, like, it really is like it's like you don't have to do
it's like
so
resetting
much, yeah, or like tension because you're like I'm hunched over my desk all the
exactly,
time
exactly
and so like
oh
it's it basically right. like the I mean certainly all four of us it's like we spent most of our days hunched over a laptop so
not me
not you
no
oh I guess not you yeah because
yeah.
you're like
right, maybe
right,
that's
maybe
why
that's
so
why
maybe
I don't
for
need
you it
yeah.
makes no sense. Whereas for me when I got that massage I was like oh, wow.
Really? Like, it felt really good.
Yeah.
It's not even, first of all, I was in grave pain for like 3 days afterwards, yeah, which goes so back to your workout.
That's right. Crazy.
But I was like, okay, I am basically just all knots.
A good kind of pain. Yeah. Like,
to me, that part of it like kind of launders the first part where you're like, I'll go into it because I'm like, I need it for the tension. And the truth is that it's like, I actually don't know if I really do. But I like the physical sensation. But like, mm-hmm. I think I agree. Like, if I were explicit to myself that it was just for the physical sensation, mm-hmm. I'd kind of be like, okay, like, why am I spending this much money on this?
I guess to me, the physical sensation is so sexual, that I'm like, what is the point of doing it if you're not going to really then get to go for it?
What inspired you to do it this time?
Well, it was my friend's birthday. Mm-hmm. And their boyfriend was out of town, mm-hmm. and he bought us a couples massage.
Oh, okay.
That's
a good reason.
Yeah. It was sweet. So it was also like, it was a friendship massage. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So I was also, you know, there's no place to put the sexuality there either.
That actually in particular, because actually like in a massage where you're alone, you can bring in maybe the sexual vibe a little bit more than when you're with a friend.
But like, you know, yeah.
But this is what my grandmother says about massages too.
What?
She's always like, why would you have it done by not a lover?
Yeah. She's there like, we go. See, she'll only be saying the coolest shit ever.
Basically.
Is this your French grandmother?
Yeah.
Well, that's very
She's just
French.
Kind of like, she's like, I literally, don't, she's like, it's the weirdest thing ever. Like, that's clearly something that should be between you
she
and a lover.
Is so mean.
But some people are better at it.
Right, exactly. It's like, I don't know, I've had lovers do it where it's like, you know what? Why don't we get a doctor in here?
Also, my single massage I've ever had, it was like a middle-aged woman that I would never think to be. By the way, not because she's middle-aged.
Yeah, whoa.
My only.
What if it was Nicole Kidman? Yeah. You'd be singing a different tune.
Then obviously I'd be rock hard the entire time. Sorry, I should not have said that. What I'm saying is that it is someone outside of the group of people I am attracted to, and not
young
of,
people,
not because of her age, because of her gender.
Bisexual ageist, George. Right.
I guess I don't mean to be sexualizing masseuses. Like that's not right. Maybe they don't want that. I think it's just a personal thing about
a theory.
Yeah,
which is that actually a lot of jobs involve like subtle like care and are like subtly like erotic or
100%.
Like I actually think that's true of like people cutting your hair. I think that's true of like honestly a lot of doctors are like they're like anytime a doctor is like I'm gonna check your lymph nodes, I'm like whoa.
What about when they take it there? What about when they check your cock?
when I worked, we're gonna check your cock.
Like literally, where they're like just a peek, great.
Yeah,
all right, cool.
Check
one,
your
two.
Cock.
It's literally like tender, like. And actually, anytime anyone gives you personal attention, I'm there's an erotic sensual. Yeah.
When I worked in retail, I was like, "This is like men would be like, what do you think of these pants?'" And I'd be like, "This is so sexy."
Right? You're like, "Okay, so for a second, you're my boyfriend right now."
And I was like, "Well, you look incredible, and we're gonna look so good together."
Right? You're like, "Let's."
What do you think of these pants? You're like, "Baby, my parents are gonna love you no matter what. It doesn't matter."
I really did like. I really took it on, and I was obsessed with it.
Yeah, and I bet they're feeling it because vibe is vibe. Of
vibe
course,
is vibe,
and
baby.
They know that.
Yeah, that's so true. It's like actually like 90% of interactions are like, whoa.
Tutoring Charlie,
yeah,
not with the kids. No, but with the mom. Like now you're tutoring an adult,
right?
That's sexual.
Well, actually, there is a weird dynamic of my tutoring work, which happened a lot more because I used to tutor a lot more in person before the pandemic, and it used to be very weird to be like in someone else's house and like. Being like, hey, I need to use your bathroom. And like having to like attend to my like bodily needs while I was like at like in someone else's space. I was like, I don't like this actually.
Yeah,
I like having my own. Like even in an office, you're like, this is a little bit my bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel that at nannying when I'm like, I need to go take a shit in the bathroom where the baby takes a shit.
Right, exactly.
and like also like when it smells like. Like you, as a nanny, like there's another adult there. Like everyone's like, oh, it's. I think they need a change.
Right.
It smells like poop.
Right.
So if you fart, like, and the baby didn't poop, like, it's gonna be disgust.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
right. It's
no.
Like that's gonna come up. That's not like a thing that people.
I hate that.
No, it's tough.
This is Sam's first idea: half life of an album.
Okay, so this I was thinking about. Where I was listening to an album that came out last year at this time, and because it was matching the weather of when it came out, it felt new, and I felt like it was last year again. And I was like, I can enjoy it as if it's the first time I heard it, but I also know that I can't enjoy it for as long because it is inherently not new. So there is a moment every year where I will be able to enjoy this in the exact same way I first did, but a little bit less every time.
I think think that's so genius and true. And it's like with like drugs or something, like the first time you get high, it's not really true with drugs, but like that, like you can repeat something, but like, and it'll feel as good, but not for as long.
Right.
Like if you loved it for 2 months, like you'll have a great month with it this time.
Right. Yeah.
What album, by the way?
It was Charlie XCX Crash.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is spring.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Wait, I just had this today with an album that I think you're going to be shocked by because you don't remember it, but I remember it and you guys probably do too.
I don't know which camp I'm in.
Trying to process. Yeah. I don't know how you're going to feel.
Yeah.
And I have to accept that. Emotion by Carrie Jepsen. But I listened to, I was at like a venue and I heard the song Emotion and I was like, let me go ahead and listen to that album and put it on a playlist, forgot about it, was listening to the playlist today on my way to tutoring. It was like 8:45 a.m. and I heard the first song, Run Away With Me, that like saxophone. Yep. And I was literally like, and it hit so hard. And I literally like looked up at a building and like, I was like, this is the first time I've ever seen a building. Like it actually was so amazing.
It's beautiful.
And it was kind of because I let it really like sit for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, it's going to be spring. Mm-hmm. It's like the weather's going to change. I got all these visceral memories of like the last time I was really listening to that album, which was honestly like 7 years ago. And
in the spring?
Yeah, and like the spring of 7 years ago. And I was like, I mean, it was amazing. I had an amazing morning because of it.
I do feel like with music, it's like even more true than like a smell or something where it just can like transport you in such a weird way.
Totally.
The music season combo is so intense.
It is.
So intense.
The pressure of a song of the summer. Whoa. Where it's like, okay, guys, it's April.
Right.
We're running out of time. Like, what's it going to be?
Well, it's actually like a public service. But it's like, when there isn't one, it actually is like scary. Because like, we need something to rally around. Totally. Like, what will be the summer?
Yeah. I remember, I mean, I was very young when this happened. But you know that song, Let Me Hold You, Girl?
Yeah.
So I was listening to like Z100 crazy. And they like named it the song of the summer. They were like, this is the song of the summer. And it really stuck with me in a way where like, now if I listen to that song, it's so evocative where I'm like, I need to be at a beach and I need a pina colada now. But that's like so what good. That is a single song my mind goes to because I think it might have been maybe when I first heard of the concept of a song
right.
of the summer.
No, right. You never forget your first.
Such a huge thing.
My first one was, and I don't know if this was the song of the summer, but I heard someone say this on some radio thing. Turn the lights on.
Say more.
Every night I rest in my bed.
Oh, Beyonce.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet Dream.
Sweet Dreams.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah. And I think they were like, maybe it wasn't. She was like, I just wanted to put this out for the summer for a fun song. I heard her say that in like a MTV whatever in like high school. And I was like, oh, it was the first time I realized that like an artist could try and do something for a time.
Right.
Like, she was like, we rushed this to just get it out for the summer so people could have a fun song for the summer.
I love when it's
I was
like
how does she know
service?
It's the summer, basically? Yeah. Like, I was like, I didn't realize that could go like that.
I feel like the biggest one, like, in the last decade, like, was, remember the summer that Get Lucky was out?
Oh, yeah.
And it was truly like,
That's
it went from loving
summer.
It in June to hating it by August.
Right, that's part of the experience of the song of the summer, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure, as you said, on the concept. And it actually, like, I feel like mostly in the past 5 years, it's been a little disappointing. Where you're like, oh, this is, like, kind of the one. Or it's like, there's not a clear one. And
or do you think we're just getting older?
Maybe.
I think that's also... No. Less monoculture.
I'm not
getting they're just like, it's like ours. It's like, you'll be like, it's not in the summer, it's Caroline Polachek. And someone will be like, what are you even talking about?
Exactly. In the summer, it's Caroline Polachek. People are like, that is sound.
That's a librarian in my town. I mean, the last one that I remember being like, this energy is unbelievable was Call Me Maybe. Like,
I was gonna say
that feeling
that's interesting.
The way that
I hated that song, and I'm a huge Carly Rae Jepsen.
I was actually a hater as well.
It was so overplayed.
I could not listen to it.
He's being insane.
Okay,
I think we were both like cynical in the bad way.
Yes,
like, there was so much internet push of like, this is the greatest pop song ever, which I think both rubs right. against us both in the wrong way.
Uh-huh. Right.
And so we weren't even able to listen to it in a real way because we were being told to love it so much.
Right.
From like a scientific perspective.
I cannot stress enough that like I am a huge Carly Rae Jepsen. Yeah. I saw her live this year.
I believe you.
That song is like nails on a chalkboard to me.
Really?
I like every single other one of her songs.
You can't get into it now.
No.
I can get
and
into
did
it
she
now.
Do it at her, did
she did, yeah. I mean, people love it. The thing you realize with Carly Rae Jepsen is that like, to 99.9% of the population, she's still only that girl.
Right. That's
like,
so, which is really so, weird. It is so weird. Crazy.
It is funny because it's like, I'm like, oh, right, like her big hits, like Runaway yeah. with Me yeah. or Emotion. And it's like, that's actually not even, like, people haven't gotten that far.
No. No. Well, I'm like, well, of course you guys know the B-sides to Emotion. Like, right. you know, going
yeah.
to the store.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. Like her famous song's Going to the Store. I love that one.
That's
so
a great song.
Awesome.
I had that song in the summer thing recently with, it was Kiss Me More, like
I think that was
to me
like
is another
like the
perfect...
first COVID summer
yeah.
I believe yeah.
Wait, what's Kiss Me More?
It's the Doja Cat.
Oh, of course. Oh, yes,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
a great
yeah,
song
yeah.
That's a great song.
Well, yeah, I also think COVID messed it up for songs of the summer for a bit.
Yeah, we got a little
wait what on. Was okay, what is the big Doja Cat song that she performed literally every single second of every day for like 4 years?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh,
say so.
Say that so. I don't know when that was released, but that has Song of the Summer
she's
energy
so good.
To me.
I
like that is
an amazing pop.
Oh, I
yeah, yeah, she's got it.
We are card carrying Doja Cat.
We talked about her on our podcast when we were younger and yeah. dumber, and we were very much like, do we subscribe? Like, do we just stay with
right,
the free
right.
trial?
Uh-huh.
We're all in. We're paying for platinum.
Has, you know what? Because also she was performing that song again and again, and actually had a bunch of new versions.
Exactly,
was like,
exactly. Heavy metal, yeah. like yeah. jazz,
right.
cabaret.
Cabaret. I mean, cabaret. Also that song, I'm like, talk about an overplayed song, but I still love it. If it
yeah.
comes on, I'm in heaven.
Yeah, right. you kind of remember it. All right.
Okay, so my turn again. Yay, you guys. Are you all just on drugs?
Okay, so that's my idea, and it's
shoot.
Or are you all just on drugs?
Oh, sorry. Or are you all just on drugs?
Okay, so this is the idea of, let's say there's this friend group that you are acquaintances with, her tangentially related to her, follow on social media, and they're mm-hmm. constantly talking about, they're like, happy birthday to like the best person I know, happy birthday to the most talented person I know, like spending the day with my best friend Natalie, who literally like every word that comes out of her mouth is like the most genius thing I've ever heard. And then you meet them,
better not be backtracking
a couple
on
of then you meet that those people like a couple of times, or you see them at parties, and you sort of have the realization like, oh, you're just always on drugs. That's why you are, like, that is what makes that bond so strong.
Right.
Like, it's not that you guys are especially intelligent or especially interesting or have a lot to say. It's just that because every time you're together, you're on drugs.
So your friends
your memories
are, like...
are so heightened that you're like, oh my God, we're in a movie.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
the
this,
best
there's something yeah. about, like, chemically what you do to yourself and how it does, like, you're like, well, that's just, it like does just become your personality
yeah
in a way that's like, is this real? And it's like, well, it's as real as anything, I guess,
right.
sure,
but yeah. it's still complicated. Like, there's like weed people and drinking people and sober people, and it's
right.
like
right. Well, also it helps because you're like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Like when
yeah.
you're like, why is this
actually,
happening?
Yeah.
Like yeah. we've talked about this before, of like just the experience generally of being around like sober around people who are like on substances,
mm-hmm.
I guess,
mm-hmm.
and like that it is kind of disarming because you're like, why are you like
yeah.
you just have a moment where you're like, that wasn't that funny,
right?
And then you're like,
it's
totally.
So disturbing.
Ah, that's what it is. And then it's kind of like, okay, invite me next time.
Yeah. I'll do the drugs.
Yeah.
I do think like there is something amazing and like really really humbling about just like seeing the way people talk about their friends. Like
right.
this was like very true in college when you knew everyone.
Right.
I feel like it's a little less true now because you don't always know people's people or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but like you knew everyone, and like there's these two people and you like don't really, you're not really interested in either of them.
Right.
And to each other, they are like the moon and the stars
yeah.
and the sun
yeah.
and the sea.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, like
yeah.
you complete, like something like my divine fucking genius best friend, like I couldn't be luckier to have you. And you're like, Haley?
Yeah, yeah, no, totally. We literally,
what?
So funny.
I mean, that's so like,
yeah.
that's such an Instagram experience, right? Where you're like, I am just not like in it with you there.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
And also the public facing thing is so funny because it's like, one thing for it to be like, wow, that's awesome, you have this thing, but like when you post on Instagram like that, it really is like, you are asking me to buy in a little bit.
Yeah, well, and I'm like, totally. But we do that with, like, everyone, totally, like, for a birthday or whatever, like, you totally. Do, and it's kind of like, when it's you, you're like, I mean, duh,
well, this you guys person are the is insanely
amazing. Like, and I am right about that. Yeah. Okay, like, they are actually amazing
and
in a way that,
I'm so lucky I'm so close to them, and then for the two people, you're like, someone you know, they post someone you don't know, you're totally. Like, oh, maybe they are, but you know both of them, you're like,
right.
Okay, well, sometimes it's legitimate and you're doing it because you really feel it, and sometimes you're doing it out of obligation.
Yeah.
And I feel like this happens in comedy a lot,
yeah.
and it kind of drives me insane.
Right.
Where people will be like, this was the best show I've ever seen, like Instagram story.
Yeah.
And it's like, that could be true, mm-hmm. but it's also could not be.
Yeah.
And some people post because they feel it, and some people post because they're like, that's my friend, I should post this.
Right. Yeah. Or I want to say more about this, but I also don't want to be too much of a hater, but I do really think that they're like this happens so much with so many different kinds of media. I'm actually more sympathetic to it when it's like, this is a person you know, this is a person who's trying something. Drives me really crazy when it's like, this is a movie. Like, this is a movie. This is like a studio movie. Like, you literally can be kind of honest. And like this, and then there's a weird culture of defensiveness when people are like, when a movie receives a criticism and other people liked it, it's like, why would you say that? I thought it was good. It's like, whoa, don't worry. Like, the movie, like, people got a lot of money to make this. Mm. It got a lot of respect and accolades. Like, no problem. But I always feel so hoodwinked when I go into something and people are like, this was the funniest thing ever. It was so amazing. And I'm like, you couldn't really think
that. Well, it's because of the infrastructure of social media. Like, it's like, yes, you are putting that out there into a feed where you have to like do everything in your power to get attention. So either you're going to be like, profuse or, you know, like incredibly positive or incredibly negative. So that it like makes an impact.
Right.
Otherwise, if you tweet like, this was pretty good, 3.5 stars.
Right.
That's not going to get retweets.
Yeah, actually, if I see that, I'm going to be like, kill yourself. Yeah.
You're like, why are you giving off one opinion?
Maybe. Yeah. But don't you think you kind of know, like, someone posting their friend, you're kind of like, can't take any of this seriously, but good for them for supporting.
But sometimes you want to take it. Like, sometimes it's like, sometimes they are trying to share information and be like.
You also learn how to parse, like within the range of, like, everything feels so, like, exclamatory. Yeah. And then you kind of learn when you're like, okay, this is actually for real, and then sometimes it's like, you're just saying this is the best thing ever, and like, you're not using enough exclamation points. And so I know, or whatever.
I feel like...
Sorry, I just had I couldn't remember if something was a dream or not, George.
Oh my god. Well, I'm trying not to say too much. In my idea, it's like... Because I'm not...
Cut the cameras.
I'm actually not talking about... If this helps, I'm not talking about comedy people. I'm actually talking about, like...
Singers.
Cool...
Book people.
No, I'm talking about,
literary.
Like... The sort of... Like, imagine, like, cool downtown people. Like, people in the art world. People going to... And you're like... And somehow, you know, Fran, it's like all these people Leibowitz. That are so well-dressed and, you know, look the perfect amount of disheveled and all have, you know, beautiful... I was about to say beautiful websites. and I'll have, you know, you look them up and they look so mysterious and blah, blah. And they're like in photos from like a party report and blah, blah. And you're like, wow, like imagine being in a space with them. That would be so cool to be like in the center of New York City.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself in a space with them and they're like dead eyed and have nothing to say because they just like are looking for ketamine.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a dark feeling.
Oh, I see. Back to your point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Though, there's someone who sees that person and is like, bestie. You know what
well,
I
that's
mean?
The other thing you realize is, like, so many people are hangers-on. Like, the idea that there's some center of this, like, social universe that is, like, an authentic, talented, cool person who, like, justifies the existence of all these other stupid, annoying people. You're never going to find what you're looking for. It's all people trying to find their light in the camera.
Right. Oh, God.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Fuck. Phone begets phone.
Okay, this is a simple idea, and this is the thing, and maybe this is literally so obvious.
No.
But thank you.
No.
This is the thing of, like, it's actually crazy to watch when one person takes out a phone, people immediately reflexively, it actually spreads like wildfire.
No, you're 100%. Right.
And in myself, it is the saddest feeling. Like,
totally.
Like, if I'm with Misha's the one who looks up directions and it's like, okay, we're going here. And he's like, okay, I'll look where to go. And I'm like, well, I can't look up where to go. I'm busy. And then it's like, but you're on your phone and I need to look at my phone.
Yeah.
So he'll literally be like doing something. And I'll be like, Instagram.
Like Twitter right now. Like why?
Totally.
It's so sad.
It's just crazy how like like a response. And if you see people in a group and like one person just does it, like
it literally be like, bop, 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 bop. No, it's fire. We need some type of like firewall system to like stop it.
Right. The only way to avoid it maybe is someone is like, you have to be like, I need to look at my phone for a second.
Because I'm doing something for the group.
I'm doing something for the group, and I'm looking at my phone, or just even just being like, I'm taking myself out of this social world right now. So it's like, that's like the bracketing of it.
Right.
So it's like, don't, you guys,
we're
don't
not phone people now.
Right.
You know what's annoying? When you have to, when you have to look at your phone because literally like your mom texts you something important.
Yeah. Right.
But you want to be like, okay, I'm going to do this. It's going to take half a second. Please, no one else do it. But you can't, that's not a normal thing.
Right. Yeah,
so
you
like try to be subtle about it. And then everyone takes their phones and then it's just phone time. And you're like, I know I started this, but stop.
But I had a thing, which was my mom texting me something important, a logistical thing that I had to answer.
Sometimes like something sensitive is happening on your phone, like a sensitive combo with like a friend or a partner or whatever. Yeah. And like, it's not the time to like drop off and stop texting, but then like something in person is happening, and I hate that. I hate navigating that, like that you have to be like, sorry, one second, because like stopping texting is going to be like just as bad as, you know what I mean?
The like, problem I like really is that the way we text on our phones has no like
beginning or end.
No beginning and end. It's very diffuse, and it's expected that it can happen anywhere, and so it doesn't take up spaces like this is an actual thing I'm doing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is actually a, like, if you're texting, like, you are texting. Yeah. That is like your activity right now. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing you're really
doing. Unless you're driving.
And then you can do both.
And then it's secondary.
That's totally fine.
And then you can probably manage those as ones. Right. But it used to be like, I mean, not to be like this, but it's like,
no, like
on AIM, it was like you'd be like busy, away, like G2G, BRB.
Yeah.
We don't have that infrastructure. It's actually very weird in texting to be like, wait, I can't, I, like, let's pick this up later.
Oh my God.
It's expected that the conversation just flows and has no end and no beginning, and you just know it's over, or you know that like you're not going to text so actively because people just drop off.
I've become a do not disturb person.
Yeah.
And it has helped a lot.
Where you're just like, don't expect anything immediately. Like,
yeah, like you put the setting on and it hasn't the thing that says it. Like, this person won't receive.
Helps with the expectation.
Helps with the expectation.
Yeah, and gives you like more time.
I've noticed that more and more people in my life are doing that.
Yeah.
That's a newer feature. That's why I liked read receipts, because it. Because it would be like, you know that I haven't seen it, but then I was always trying to sneak look at it. Right. And then sometimes I would accidentally click into it, but actually not be able to respond. And then it would be like red and I didn't respond. And then that's saying a whole thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's hard to manage, and I actually miss like away messages.
Me too.
100. Well, also,
because, which is a do not disturb a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, a little
because
bit.
Like saying I, you know, BRB or G2G is sort of not normalized. When you do have to go, you have to be so effusive in your justification, where you're like, sorry, I'm drowning in work. I'm on set.
Right.
It's
like,
no,
sorry, a million people are talking to me right now. I have to put my phone away.
No, and it's like, no, well, actually, it's just 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, and I'm doing emails.
Right. It's like, I actually just have to go. Like, I can't do this right now. Yeah. And right, but it's so, like, you still have to do this performance thing of, like, I can't believe how, like, I can't believe
wait,
how much other
things
happened.
This week has been insane.
Yeah.
I was saying this at our last show that, like, you have to put on such a show of being so embarrassed when you're busy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when someone's like, can you hang out with this week? And you're like, this never fucking happens. And, like, literally, I don't know what's going on. And it's all stupid shit, but I'm like, randomly busy this week. Otherwise you sound like literally like Anne Hathaway being like, well, I'm flying to Rome on Wednesday, and then I don't know why I chose her.
I am really trying to bring back like actually just being like BRB or like G2G. It just sucks because it's like it can feel so abrupt.
And you
also don't always anticipate like that a conversation is going to have more depth that like requires more care, and so you start something that's like logistical, and then it becomes about like, oh, well, the reason I can't make it tonight, actually this other big thing is happening that like, oh, now we're talking about it. And you're like, oh no, I can't do it. I can't manage it.
Yeah.
And by the way, the reason it is stigmatized to say BRB and G2G and the reason there are no away messages is because people who work, because tech companies make more money the more you're on a platform.
Right.
Wow. So it's like that. Wow. That's not even a joke. Like,
big iMessage.
You're right.
That's literally why it is, these problems exist, and why you are
like
then, you're then like put in a position where like you have to make things awkward in order to what? Put your phone down.
Yeah.
I also get mad where, one, that's genius. Two, when you're saying like the busy thing, it's like when you don't like like, we don't work, like, for Goldman Sachs from, like, 9 to 7 p.m. No. And, I mean, Charlie does, but... Right.
We'll speak for ourselves.
We don't, yeah.
And it's, like, people are like, okay, so you're free all the time. And it's like, no.
Yeah, that actually is a thing, especially people who really do have... Actually, this is a difference between us.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can kind of always be a little bit answering, and it's, like, up to me. I mean, not always, because I literally am tutoring often, but yeah. I push through that, and we'll be answering texts and sending emails.
No, he's swanky.
I push through that.
It's, like, yeah, it's uncomfortable to be emailing while I'm actively with someone, but, you know. But Natalie really will be, like, I am holding a child from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m.
That's right.
And it is, like, oh, it's a different kind of structure. But people will sometimes be, like, it's hard to be, like, I literally could... be texting you about this kind of frivolous thing right now. I just kind of, for me, feel like I do need to be doing work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm the one who's, it makes it harder because you can't be like, my boss is calling me right now. Right.
You only can blame yourself.
Right. You're like, sorry, hard. I'm having this weird thing where I need to get work done randomly. Like, I'm being fucking stupid about this.
Well, I don't have a problem really, like, not responding or something mm-hmm. When I'm not wanting to be mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I like have a problem responding actually sometimes, but I don't like that you can be reached for any type of different thing at any time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like if someone reaches out to you for something that like you are ready to respond to, mm-hmm. but they can also reach out to you in that same convo.
Yes, that's
about
really
something
the problem
else
too.
That you're actually not.
Right.
Because that is like a whole other
right.
thing.
You're like, I need time to think about
I'm
this.
I'm like, why can't you curate exactly what people are allowed to say to you at any given moment?
This is weirdly why email is kind of good.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Wait, it's funny then it's like the conversations are like someone texts you like, hey, it's like 7 p.m. still good tonight? And mm-hmm. you're like, yep. And then they're like, also like, I feel like in our dynamic sometimes.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, right. No. Like, I'm not doing all that right now.
Ava used to have a thing where like they would try and like if they would text me and I wouldn't respond, mm-hmm. like they'd be like, sup, mm-hmm. like let's hang out tomorrow, whatever. And I just like wouldn't respond. And then they would be like, Ariana Grande's pregnant. And have one like hook. And I'd be like, what?
That's
and then they'd be like, hi, gotcha.
That's
all right.
Good,
what are you
evil.
Doing tomorrow
yeah.
night?
Evil,
yeah.
Evil,
but it
evil.
Would be like really effective. It was like, no,
that's
I'm there.
Funny.
I'm reading the text.
Okay, so this, Natalie, I actually have to call you out on this.
Spelling?
Yeah.
Oh.
Whatever.
But you know how to spell Bethany.
Oh. What
she
is it?
She famously spells it Beth-N-E.
With an
two N's.
Beth-E-N-N-Y.
That's so funny of her.
I agree, but
is Frankel right?
Yeah, Frankel's right.
Okay,
but it's like to me, it's like such a defining. It's like of course you would spell it fucking psycho. Of course you can spell Bethany the normal Christian way.
Totally. Well, that is part of her charm.
Anyway, so yeah. The idea is Bethany Frankel Zoloft.
Right. So this is just a story which we don't usually do on this podcast, but I just wanted to share. That I was trying to refill my Zoloft prescription. And I remember when I was doing it, I was actually feeling like Bethany Frankel because I was walking to work, like had a scarf on, walking to work, windy, and I was like shooting off emails,
totally.
Which was like so business. Like it felt really cool. Like I think mm-hmm. I maybe emailed you like mm-hmm. some logistical thing, record the podcast, mm-hmm. blah, 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 send. Okay, hi, Samantha, can I get a refill on the Zoloft or does it refill, send, whatever. And was just feeling cool. Like I was like, I don't know, I've texted fast like that, but yeah. I feel like I've never like emailed fast like that really.
Right.
And then I got a text from my friend, our friend Eitan Bachlin the other day and was mm-hmm. like, hey, Samantha Shanker, who's this person we both know, mm-hmm. Texted me saying you emailed her for a Zoloft refill.
That is so funny.
Wow.
Did you get hacked or was that you? And I was like, that was me. Yeah. And my psychiatrist is also named Samantha. And I seem to have shot off the email to the wrong person.
I love that.
Isn't that kind of slay?
That's
but
fun.
Don't you think Bethany herself would also do something like that? Like, to me, Bethany,
maybe.
About 80% of the things she probably does
are
wrong
nothing.
In some way. Like, she's just like constantly on guard, constantly like on uppers. And she's like, okay, so yeah. Blah, 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 blah. And then at the end of the day, it's like,
that's
okay,
true.
So three buildings have been destroyed
because
of like things this
did.
Woman has done.
Right. Like, I'm sure like half the emails she's sending are like to the wrong Sarah. And it's like, rethink company, now it's about dog food or something.
It's like, it's crazy.
Like that whoever receives it is like, that doesn't even need
that's
to find
not,
a
no.
right person. Like that's not yeah.
This is like not the time or place for it, but at some point I have like we as a nation like do need to address her Instagram, like her Instagram presence. It's actually insane.
I know.
And I know that Charlie and Sam are not like no, we're Bethany like waiting people, for, like, but it's cool. Like it is the it is like a mad woman.
It's yeah.
Slowly breaking down.
I know, but there is a part of her, like. She does have like a number one podcast. Like there is like an execution
yeah.
to her madness where it's like she has this thing where she's like, you guys think I'm psycho, but I come out on top. And it's like,
no, it's true.
She kind of does.
And by the way, I worship
she's
her.
On the Today show doing her makeup reviews that yeah. she just started like for fun. It's like she does have something where like she lands.
Wait,
randomly.
I'm sorry. Can I just say one thing? She did a video about cottage cheese. I'm like a huge cottage cheese
yeah,
fan.
I did see that one.
You did see that, or
I
you
saw
did?
It. Yeah, yeah. No, I did.
She goes. First of all, she is literally like putting cottage cheese in her mouth and like licking her lips like inches from the camera in a way that like you just can't do on Instagram. That no. is so.
And
disgusting.
That's her age showing a little bit.
And then she goes, she'll just say something absolutely insane. Like she goes, you know, you can have it with marinara sauce. Anyway, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to cottage cheese. You're like, wait, you can have it with marinara recipes, sauce? What are you talking about?
George, you are right that she does need to go on trial for her recipes.
The recipes are crazy.
Her recipe, and she has a background as a chef. So
no. It, no, yes, yeah. But wait.
A health
you're
food
so
chef.
Right. She
so
literally was a chef, and that is what, like, got her, like, her first big thing in the season one was, like, that she started a cupcake company.
Yes, and that she was, like, a chef to the stars.
And a chef to the stars.
And, but all of her recipes are, like, I said we're going to go fast.
I'm sorry.
We need to, like, end right now. But all of her recipes are, like, disordered eating versions of all these foods.
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah,
that's
like it's that she's eating. Like, you don't need bread. The bread is the mug. Yeah. So what you put in is a crushed up tomato uh-huh. and a hot dog. And that's the bun is the ceramic. And then you have a, and it's like, yeah, you're, you know, she's not well, but it, but it is like crazy to watch a chef do those kind of hacks that like all the girls I know were doing growing up.
Right. Wait, sorry, one tiny thing. I promise this will be 15 seconds. Did you watch the video where she talks about like the Met Gala and Kim Kardashian? She just like starts
she just
talking,
did like journalism, right? Like
she well just she did, just goes like she has this thing which she's a classic sort of 21st century, I don't want to say scammer, but like a classic 21st century snake oil peddler.
Yeah,
like it's sort of like, so I'm meant to believe you basically know everything about everything. You're an expert.
Right.
You're like a opinion columnist. You are a chef. And so she just like goes on this. It's like she is doing a monologue like Tucker Carlson style into the camera.
Just
about
weighing
like,
in on.
About literally like how the entire fashion industry works. And you're like, who are what? You to no. say?
Of course. Of course. No, she's getting into kind of like reporting on her Instagram, which is really interesting. Yeah, she's like, was Kim Kardashian not invited to the Met Gala?
Well, it's complicated like, because on the one hand, like, yeah, not literally, but you know, she showed there and it's Kim Kardashian. Yeah. So what's Anna Wintour going to do? Say no? Of course you wanted her there.
Yeah.
And you're like, what are you saying?
No, but she's just randomly such a slay.
No, I love her. That's and please, funny. No, like, it's she is sort of a unique
But I'm
figure.
Glad you brought up the cottage cheese and such because that stuff is not right.
Yeah.
I mean, also, anyone can pivot to reporter on Instagram now.
I know.
We have people that have, like, the most brain-dead gay guys on earth can just post pictures of women in dresses and be like, this is a slay, and they'll literally be a writer for Us Weekly. And, like,
yeah, it's true. But the thing with Bethany is that she was the smart one for so long.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it even more sinister, in my opinion, is, like, she is the one that was, like, too smart for Housewives. She's the one that broke out. She's the one that, like, was always, like, talking circles around everyone else. So even I'm like, oh, she's probably right.
No, but yeah. No, I think she's doing her thing really well.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
her weird.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Tell me if I'm getting this right.
Okay.
Passenger seat of knowing someone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that what this is?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, I'm excited.
So
that's a fun
That's really good.
Okay, so this happened, like, recently I was at a movie theater with Misha and there were people that he had met like one night and it was like a group that he knew two of them and I have never met any of them.
Right.
And so I was in the passenger seat of him knowing these people.
Totally.
And so I was having to let him drive like the interaction.
Totally.
But he was driving in a way that I kind of disagree with.
Yeah.
Like if I were driving, I would have been like very like straight and been like, hi, how are you? Hi. Yeah, like kind of more political about it, but he's like more quiet.
Right.
And so he was just like, hey,
yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm like right here. Like these people think we're being rude.
Right. And you're like, I don't want to backseat drive this because it's not my car right now. But like literally you're like, okay. hey, babe, I think now is the time when you're supposed to, like...
Yeah. It's like, we could actually cut this awkwardness if you just, like, went up and we both talked to them and maybe you introduced me.
You're like, it's green.
It's green.
It's green. Yeah, right. Let's go. Let's go. Green. Let's go.
That's
and,
so true.
And I was like, I can't believe I'm having to, like, let you drive because I'd be such a better driver right now.
Yeah.
But it was like, but I have to let you drive. Right. And then it was literally, like, I was wanting to tell him, like, go, go. Because he would be like, well, I waved at them. Green. And I was like, no, so that doesn't smart. Count.
No, it's true. Yeah.
Like, the speed limit is 45 and you're going 25. Like,
you can't. All you can do is criticize.
And by the way, if you did that, that would not end well.
No.
You're not going to butt in and
be
like,
never does
actually, what
the
he
passenger.
Means is.
Right.
It never, and it was just like, I felt, talking about bondage, I was completely powerless.
Talk about bondage.
Tied up in a movie theater, just being like, I can't do anything in this situation. Like, literally to the point where we're like leaving, and you know, he does like a little wave, but I'm like, well, what do I do? Because you haven't introduced me to these people.
Wait, he hadn't introduced you?
No.
Okay, can I say something?
Yeah.
I literally was having this conversation yesterday with my mom because I was somewhere and my sister didn't introduce her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And of course I went into like toxic big brother mode where I was like, Lydia, when you're in a social situation, you introduce the person you're with to the mixed company.
Well, and Misha thought, like, you know, he doesn't know these people well at all. So he thought it was, let's just, like, I'll just say hi and then we'll move on.
Right.
But I was like,
we don't need
but
to.
The movie theater one is empty except for the eight of us.
Uh-huh.
And, like, they keep waving and it's like,
they keep waving.
Like, no. Like, and they're all gay guys. Like, it was like, we will. Like, they also are gay guys that live in Bushwick. Like, we have seen each other.
We shall be seeing them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Introducing. I feel like so strongly, in the way that some people feel strongly about, like, you know, your shoes have to match your belt. Like, it to me, it's one of those, like social rules that really we have to.
I remember fucking up once in high school with my friend and, like, running into, like, someone I knew from, like, a summer thing with, like, my friend from high school. And I didn't introduce them. And afterwards, my friend was like, hey, so just so you know. That's not how you do that.
100%.
And literally, and I was like, and now I literally always
do
it.
Well, that's great. No, that's the time to learn it too.
It totally was like, I learned.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so important. It's literally like, if you don't do that, you have to be like banned from the next social event. Like, you have to be punished in some
way.
There
needs to be a correlated consequence.
A fine.
Where you understand it more, yeah.
It's also like, A, it's easy. Mm-hmm. B, you actually, it feels good to do because then you're like, you're the one, you're making connections.
It feels so good to introduce two people.
Yeah.
I used to have a stand-up joke about it. I should bring that back.
You should.
Which is the vibe of, like, introducing two people who, like don't know each other. And you can be like, oh my god, you too, and you like find a little commonality between them.
You feel like a god.
Right. You're literally like, and I'll leave you to it. At a party introducing people, and you walk away.
You're
like,
play things.
Yeah,
you're like, or just saying like one serious fact and one stupid fact about someone. It's like, this is my friend Lizzie, she's a brilliant musician, and don't get her started on pretzel sticks.
Yeah. Wow. It is fun.
That is really so funny. Fun. But this particular interaction ended with me literally waving goodbye to people I do not know.
Right, being like the quiet one in the back.
Bye,
we could know each other someday.
That's so funny.
Oh my god.
Well, okay, guys, that's it, right?
I think that's kind of...
This is so beautiful.
You have one other idea. Do you want to do it or do you want to...
It's actually really quick.
Oh, sure.
It's actually really, really fast.
I will say, it is for you on your timeline.
Right, exactly.
That's
so
true.
To leave,
it's totally
so
up it's to you.
I just, like, we came in being like, we have a heart out.
Right.
And then you guys keep trying to accommodate that, and we keep being like,
no,
we'll delay.
You guys are addicted to
it. It does sound like we're trying to rush you.
Okay, wait.
Okay.
Do it. It's really good. With this one flops. Okay.
Going to see movies needs a rebrand.
Yeah. So I'm sick and tired of people being like, we need to save cinema because it's like, that does not motivate anyone.
No,
people do
so
not like
right.
helping
right.
people.
Right.
And as soon as it is sad, it's over.
Yeah. And it makes it seem like something people don't want to do.
Right. And it's like I've been watching Seinfeld and it's like, they're always going to see movies and it feels so fun and so vintage. And so like, oh my God, like this is so New York. Like we're going to the theater to see a movie.
Right.
And it's like, just rebrand it. It's like the new records.
Right.
And it's
literally.
Like,
right.
Would be
it's
huge.
Retro. It's vintage.
And
that's
so
smart.
It is so fun and amazing to do.
It's so fun and amazing to do.
This is, we bond about this all the time. And also, am I wrong? So my partner does not like going to the movies. Does Misha like going to the movies?
He does. Well, he does, but he prefers to watch them at home.
Exactly. No, it's and it's actually like
wrong.
I feel like that's such a he doesn't like onions.
Yeah, exactly.
But wait, let me know if I thought this is where you were going to take it, where it's like there should be more media representation of people going to movies, and that is a way to make it cool again.
Like when they're
I mean,
like smoking
one approach,
in the movies.
I think that's a genius
approach.
I sort of think that
movies about people going to the movies.
No, but that's like the
in
answer.
In Euphoria, they should go to the movies.
Right, literally.
Like, why don't they go to the movies in Euphoria? Why don't they go to the movies in the Gossip Girl reboot? Like,
right.
And they used
frankly,
to.
Frankly, I just saw the new Scream. It's like, why isn't there a scene where they go to the movies and scream?
Right. Wait, that's literally genius. Of course they should go see a movie in the movie Scream. And by the way, that's what it's about.
It's the perfect... Like, I'm sorry, but at this point, I'm almost like, maybe cinema deserves to be dead, because if you're stupid enough that you haven't thought of this yourself, it's like, wait, so this is SponCon inside, this is SponCon inside movies, the very product yourself.
Right, well, right.
Literally no one loses if every movie has a scene where they go to the
movie. What bothers me so much is people keep trying to rebrand it and put it in movies, but they do it wrong. It's supposed to be 90s. It's supposed to be like,
you know what they're
the 50s, doing? King Kong.
Too old, you know how they're doing it? They're also being like, they keep making movies about the process of making movies.
No,
and
no.
You have a bajillion people who are like, I want to work in entertainment and I want to be in the industry.
Yeah.
And
it's nobody wants to.
You need to watch it. It's like, glamorize that part of it. Right. Enough of like movies about the set. Like,
no, you're
and
so
right. And there's so many movies
right.
that are like a love letter to Hollywood, and they're all about
making movies.
And it's like,
I couldn't
that's
hate
mostly
that more.
Not how people engage with the art of cinema.
They go see them. They go see them.
Love letter to filmmaking, it's like, you might as well vomit into a cup and serve it to me. Like, it's like, what are you doing?
No one cares about it on any level.
Yeah. Make a movie about being a nurse.
Make a movie about being a nurse. And literally, like, anything that is like a meditation on fame, it's like, guess what? 40 people experience that.
Right, and they get like lauded because the people who experience that are the ones who are like,
this is so true. And it's like, we all interact with fame in terms of being people who watch famous people, but that's not what the movies are about. It's about like what fame does to you. And it's like, what you need is like a support group or like a place you can go to talk to each other about this. Don't make a movie for us. We don't know anything about that.
Quentin Tarantino's new movie was announced as it's going to be a biopic of Pauline Kael, who's a famous film critic, and everyone on Twitter was like, yes, and it's like, of course you losers want
this. Oh my god.
No one else fucking cares.
It's insane. I saw a tweet that was literally
Kael?
Like, if Kate Blanchett doesn't play this, I'll kill myself. Like, and it was like,
up.
Who is that?
Yeah.
No, I work in entertainment and I don't know who these people are.
Yeah, that's funny.
Kate Blanchett as Pauline Kael, now I can die. What?
It's just like her, like on her typewriter, typing one synonym and then being like, wait, no. It's that cinema.
So
and
stupid.
Then all the writers are like, this so speaks to what life is like.
Right.
It's like, not really.
No.
It's your life. Ugh. It's so limited.
I know.
Damn.
That's why I think it's like, you only have a certain amount of things you can make or say after you start getting paid to do the thing you want to do.
So
and when
true.
You run out and then the only thing you can make is stuff about fame, you should do that in the sort of book club capacity where you just make a little video for your friends.
Exactly. Also, guess what? You want to make something about fame? Be a pop star. That's the only medium where that's acceptable.
Yeah,
that's true. Because pop is about like making you famous.
Like, be Lady Gaga and then I'll listen to your album about
fame.
Yeah,
but even that, like, I'm like, that one, like, when Lady Gaga does it, it's like, she's so good and cool. That it's, I think it works, but like a lot of pop stars are singing about fame,
that's
and it's
true.
Like,
Katy
tell
Perry
me about
singing
a first
about
date
does not work.
Yeah, no,
she should be singing about how her like boyfriend went to the military, like that one song.
Yeah,
what's
that? The one that got away.
Yeah, the one that got away.
I didn't know that was about the U.S. military.
Well, I think the video is like fully sponsored by the U.S. military.
Oh, she's so awesome. I remember like seeing a music video of her as a kid and being like, so she just happens to have like huge tits. That's lucky.
Yeah.
Some people have it all.
Wow.
Like, I'm like, she's this famous singer and she just has this like huge rack. Like, that worked out. But it probably didn't go like that.
Well, chicken
like
or the egg,
Sydney
you know?
Sweeney.
Like Sid
like
Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney.
Who should be going to the cinema in her show.
Wait, Sydney Sweeney is playing reality winner in a movie. And I'm like, I can only. Like, let go so much.
No.
Sydney
Sweeney was like she leaked.
She's a whistleblower.
She's a whistleblower.
And she's
Sydney Sweeney is a whistleblower.
Yeah.
You know my thing about Sydney Sweeney that Charlie's heard a million times is like that she came on the scene. Everyone's like, oh, who's this alt girl? Like this kind of like cool new celebrity. And it's like, you mean like the rail thin blonde with huge tits? Like,
who's
acting like
Republican
we're doing something
family?
Like so like, new here. Being wait. So rude what I said.
No, it's
no,
not.
Rail thin blonde
it's
with
radical.
Huge tits. By the way, describing myself.
Yeah.
Second of all, like, I'm sure she has a lot to say.
Well,
like,
she got
I don't
some
need
flack
to be
because she was the one branding herself. She was like, casting director said I would never be anything.
Right.
And it was like, based on what?
Yeah. But by the way, I love her.
Oh,
she's so talented.
Beyond.
But also, like,
oh,
this is,
I don't
this
like
is
her
partially
voice.
Me being like, this is the thing I said to Natalie was, I was like, something about her is really compelling to me. And Natalie was like, is it like the things about like.
She literally like.
Well, I do think we are in the backlash of the backlash of like, I'm sorry to say, but like, you know, sort of quote unquote uglier runway models and like, you know, unconventional beauty standards.
Mm-hmm.
unfortunately, that is coming around. And now people are like, have you ever stopped to think
yes.
that Sydney Sweeney is compelling?
Literally.
Wow. That's funny. That like, is funny.
Yeah. You know, it's so true. And it's like, look what she wore. It looks so good on her. And it's like, well, it's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right. You know? Yeah. So why did she slay the red carpet
so
down?
It's a sort of like, decolletage.
Right. Actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Edie in her new show, Edie Modica, has like a really funny like 15-minute segment on Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've seen her do that.
So fun.
Edie awesome. Should play Sydney Sweeney on the
Edie
biopic.
Should no. play.
Yeah.
That's literally so right.
All right. Well, now that we got to that,
mm-hmm. well, like,
thank
we have
you
five
guys
more
so much for coming on. This has been such a treat
us.
Of our lives.
Mm-hmm. I wish
so
we could go forever.
Yeah,
this
and
is
one
like
day we
the
will.
Most genius idea for a podcast.
Yeah, actually, it is.
I need to send
don't you.
You
dare
I need,
say
I'm
that.
Gonna just start texting you ideas, and you can have them for the pod.
No, because you keep those ideas, and you make either a business or a script.
Maybe I'll start a new podcast that has the exact same premise.
You guys do have a good support system here, where you really are allowed to just sort of feel something out.
Yeah. Right.
I feel like a lot of people don't have that.
No, yeah, it works.
You mean
really
like the
well.
List is there for you?
Like if like you can literally throw in an idea and just sort of like discuss.
Right, you have the people there.
Well, you're deconstructing the concept of a conversation, basically, because that is what a conversation is.
Deconstructed conversation.
Right, it is funny that we're like our premise is like we share ideas
things
with each
thinking.
Other and the things we're thinking, and it's like. Uh-huh.
Right.
Heard of that.
But we write them down.
But we right. That's so, all like our like pageantry around it too is like so we put them on paper and then the other person
yeah.
reads it.
Oh, yeah. Oh wait, can we do one more thing?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That we do now, that we have guests. You guys choose a girl idea you like best and a boy idea you like best. Yours aren't in.
Of
and,
the two that you
and the two winners, oh, yeah. we write down those ideas in script.
And or they get married.
Thought that one would land.
Okay, the boy idea I liked best was Sana Wana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that tracks.
And I think I got to go with Bethany Frankel Zoloft because
okay.
that was a great story.
It was a great
and it
story.
Caused a great conversation.
Thank you. So then those two get married, Sana mm-hmm. Wana and Bethany Frankel Zoloft. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Tune in next time.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
And why
Live.
Don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the show or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Hmm? Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live and we'll see you there.
All right. Bye.